He is worthy of all blessing and honor and glory. Amen. Well, good morning. Great to be with you this morning. You know, this is a special time for a church body to meet together. We sing, we pray, and we study God's word. And what better way to do this as we gather as a group to encourage each other in our most holy faith? Well, this morning, we're going to continue our prayer study. The last couple weeks, we've concerted our study on particular types of prayer. First, we did, 2 weeks ago, a prayer to God. Adoration, lament, thanksgiving, confession, forgiveness. You'll remember that. What a blessing it is to be able to come into the very presence of God and express our appreciation of who He is and what He's done, His value, His worth, and His glory. He's the omnipotent, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent God of all creation. And we're able to go into His very courts to tell Him what we think of Him in His greatness, to confess our need for the Lord in our life and give Him thanks for all our blessings. We need to do that more. The next prayer we studied was the prayer from God. Those are the things that we're asking for: supplication, intercession, request for healing, deliverance, and guidance. You know, we just covered a little bit of this morning. We have so much need for our friends and our family and those that are part of this body of believers. We need so much the hand of God in our life. We need to ask the Lord for deliverance from the things that would take our mind off of Him and put our minds on things that are time sensitive and pass away. We need to ask God to give us what we need in our daily walk with Him, give Him prayers that only He can accomplish in our lives. I love that scripture in 1 John chapter 5, that the Lord hears our supplications. We can be confident that He hears us and He will give us our prayer from God. Well, this morning we're going to hear about how Jesus prays. We're going to study and read through John chapter 17. This is referred to as the Lord's Prayer, but it's really not the Lord's Prayer as we think of from Matthew 6. This is the actual Lord's Prayer. Some consider it to be the Lord's high priestly prayer. It's referred to as that. Or it's His intercessionary prayer before God the Father. As we read through the Gospels, it's very obvious that prayer played a very important part in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Interesting fact, there's approximately 21 prayers of Jesus recorded in the Gospels. And each one of them, He enters into the very presence of His Father saying, "Father," except for one. And that's found in Matthew 27 and Mark 15, where the Lord cries from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" We know that the Lord's life was pronounced by prayer to the Father. Many times we read about the Lord Jesus going off alone, either in a mountain or someplace away from the crowd, to be alone and pray to His Father. You know, we don't know the words of all those prayers, but we know that it was important and essential in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this morning, in our text, John chapter 17, this is what we have. We actually have a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ as our high priest. Just remember these words: as our high priest, as He intercedes for us before God the Father. This intercession and this glimpse of this intercession is interesting because it not only happened then, but it continues to happen. And praise God for His intercession for us. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 24, this is what we read. But He, that is Jesus, because He continues forever in an unchangeable priesthood, therefore, He's also able to save to the uttermost, to the extreme. That's why I'm saved. To the extreme, He's able to save to the uttermost all those who come to God through Him. And how? Why? Since He ever lives to make intercession for them. Not only in the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ in John 17, but he continues his intercession before the throne of grace even today for us. We read that we sang those songs that he holds his hands up. Isn't that lovely? Shows the scars of Calvary. By this, they're mine. Praise God for his intercession. Well, Warren Wiersbe, in his study of John 17, says, what we have here is actually the Holy of Holies. What we hear here is an inner thought of Christ in intimate communion with his Father. He says, and as such, and listen to this carefully, we must approach this chapter with a spirit of humility and worship, to think that we are privileged to listen to God the Son as he converses with God the Father just before he becomes the ransom sacrifice for us sinners. It's amazing. So let's read this chapter together. We got to move along because there's lots to cover, and there's a bit of reading here this morning. So let's read the whole chapter. Praise God for his word. John 17. Please open your Bibles. It'll be on here. New King James Version text. And let's get into it. Jesus spoke these words, lifting up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men to whom you have given me out of the world. They are yours. You have gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me. I love that. That unity of the Godhead. And they have received them and have known surely that I come forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, and for they are yours. And all are mine. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be as one, maybe one as we are one. While I was with you in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you have given me, I have kept, and none of them were lost, lost is a good word, or I'll get back to that, except for the son of perdition, which the scripture might be fulfilled. And that lost was never because the Lord couldn't take care of it. Before time ever was, the predestination of this man and his choice in God's understanding of sovereignty had already been taken care of. And now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. Sanctify them, or set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they are made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you have loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Praise the Lord for the reading of his word. There's a lot of words there. And you might have an outline in your Bible that's pretty simple. The Lord prays for himself, he prays for his disciples, and he prays for all believers. Well, as I started studying through this chapter, I realized that there's so much. It's absolutely overwhelming, the amount of truth and thought that needs to be gleaned out and mined out of this chapter, that it's just impossible for us to cover it in 35 minutes. Well, not 35 minutes from now, but 35 minutes. So much needs to be discussed, and so to keep it simple and easy to navigate, I just broke it down into three headings that I think I can communicate this morning that will encourage your heart as we listen to the intercessory prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did then and what he does now and the security we have as believers. So this is why I broke it down. The work is complete, verses 1 to 5. We are secure in his word, verses 6 to 19. And we will share in his glory, verses 20 and 26. So let's get started. Right off the bat, right at the beginning of this prayer, Jesus states that the timetable of God, reminding us all that there was a time allotted for something to happen. It says, the hour has come. What hour is this? Well, this is the hour of the time of his death. The very event that would glorify the Son and the Father in the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary and his glorious resurrection the third day. We read back in John chapter 12, verse 27 and 28. I love the way the Gospel of John ties this all in, because all the things that preceded this from chapter 12 all the way through to chapter 17 connect in with this prayer of the Son to the Father. This is what it says in John chapter 12. Now my soul is troubled. This is Jesus speaking in prayer. And what shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour? But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Isn't that great? The hour was finally here, when the spotless Lamb of God, the perfect one, would bear our sins in his own body on the tree, as we read in the Epistle of Peter. He would become the sin bearer so that those of us whose eyes are opened by the power of the Holy Spirit and trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior might be made righteous and we may have eternal and everlasting life. And this glory that the Lord prays for to his Father is a mutual glory between the Father and the Son. Why do I say that? Well, the Son would glorify the Father in his perfect life. He can look back and says, there's nothing I didn't do that was part of your plan, Father. I've completed all the work you set out for me to do. Isn't that great? I wish I could say that in my life. Well, there's a lot of things I started that I made a mess of. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, all the things that were set before me, I've done them perfectly. His miracles performed. And in his sufferings and his death, he brings glory to God, showcasing God the Father's matchless grace in the plan of salvation. And the Son would be glorified in a resurrection the third day and the ascension to the Father's throne. Looking ahead, he would say that in verse 4. The work on earth has been finished. Not only all the things that he did in his sojourn as a man amongst us, but also this work of the cross that would be completed as you look ahead. And this is the finished work. It's encapsulated in Philippians chapter 2 in verse 8 to 11. We read this of Jesus, looking back at what he did and his glorification. This is what it says. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's saying he's worthy alone. It is. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I love that. And this is eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, God, Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, me, whom you have sent. Eternal life is defined here. Clear knowledge of God the Father and God the Son is the baseline for our possession of eternal life. To know God, truly know God, is to trust him, his person, his finished work, his call on our life, to put our faith and trust in him as Lord and Savior. And this eternal life is not something we earn by character or conduct. Man, if that was the case, we'd all lose. But it's a gift we receive by admitting that we are sinners, repenting and believing on Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It's the story of the cross, that the God of eternity would come down, being found in the fashion as a man. He humbled himself, and he takes upon his body our sin, that we might have a way back to the Father as the wayward children we were, to be made right with him, justified, redeemed, free. Isn't that amazing? There's a song that we sing. It's called My Hope Is in the Lord. These are the stanzas. My hope is in the Lord. He gave himself for me and paid the price of all my sin at Calvary. No merit of my own, his anger to suppress. My only hope is found in Jesus' righteousness. And now, for me, he stands, listen to this, before the Father's throne and shows his wounded hands, names me, names you, if you're a believer, as his own. His grace has planned it all. 'Tis mine but to believe and recognize his work of love in Christ receive. For me he died, for me he lives, and everlasting life and light he freely gives. Do you have that light? Do you have that life this morning? The work is finished. Praise God. The work's done. And all we have to do is believe. Let's go on. We are secure in his word. Verses 6 to 19. Interesting how it starts off. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of this world. They were yours. You gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Down to verse 11. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. He's going back to the Father. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. The emphasis here in this second part is the security of all those, the security for all those who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Lord manifested everything we need to know about God's name. Who he is and what he is seen in the person of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that God spoke in different times, in different ways. In that last day, he's shown his full character in his Son. And this is what his Son is. He's the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person. You know, people say, I look like my dad. We have the same nose. Isn't that great that we carry on our lineage? But this is the absolute reflection of everything that Godhead is seen in the person of Jesus Christ, the perfection and the righteousness and the wonder of who he is. We also read that he manifests his name by showing his grace and love. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory, his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Our security depends on the nature of God. And the nature of God is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And the nature of God is declared in His Word. We talk in Hebrews chapter 7, it tells us about Jesus that He was undefiled. He was separate from sinners. He was holy and He was spotless. That's God. Psalm chapter 145 says this in verses 17 to 19. The Lord is righteous to all in all His ways. This is God. This is the character of God that keeps us by His Word. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, gracious in all His works. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth, understanding who He is and what He's done, His person and His character. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He also will hear the cry and save them. I'm so thankful that He heard my cry. What the Lord has promised, He will do. We have security in His Word. We have complete security. The Word of God gives us faith and assurance. And His Word assures that Jesus will continue to intercede on our behalf. We did our Roman study, and I don't think you can talk about security of us as believers without reciting some of the verses from Romans chapter 8. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also give us freely all things in Him? Who shall bring a charge to God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, get this, this is intercession. And furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God and makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Maybe that's what you're going through this morning. Maybe you need to hear that security that Jesus communicated to the Father, that they would understand the manifestation of who God was, who God is, and God will keep them. Famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors, not on our own, but through Him who loved us. For I'm persuaded. I love the Apostle Paul. He's a persuaded guy. I want to be persuaded. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Isn't that great to be able to recite this? God's word in the security that He keeps us. Verse 17 says, sanctify them by your truth. This is what we're doing this morning. Not only did God set us apart as part of His body, but He sanctifies us because His word is truth. We are secure in His word. And we have to carry on. We shall share in His glory. I love this part. Verses 20 to 26. Verse 20, the Lord Jesus now prays for all those who would believe in the future. Believers of all time, the church, this is what He says. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. The disciples were going to go out and preach the gospel. That's what we're doing. We're going out and we're a witness for Jesus Christ. And for all those who will believe, the Lord now prays for them. He prays for unity amongst those who believe. He prays for unity that would be seen by the world, so the world would turn around and say, yeah, their faith is actually from the true God. He prays for the glory that comes from unity, when the children of God actually reflect the Christ-likeness that we should reflect in how we interact and deal with each other. The way we do that at our workplace, the way we do that at our school, the way we do that at church, wherever we are. John chapter 13 and verse 34 to 35, this is what Jesus speaks. He says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. You want to know how the church is accentuated that in fact they are God's? Because we love one another. that we actually have care for one another. That you love one another as I have loved you. Wow, what a benchmark that is. That you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Nothing is more glorious on this earth than when brothers and sisters in the Lord really and truly show love for each other. We've seen it here. You've seen it here in people that have had severe sickness and how we've rallied around and we've come, we've prayed and we've interceded for each other. This is the glory that we can see in this earth by what God does through the power of the Spirit, because we don't do that on our own. We're empowered by His Spirit to live a life of Christ-likeness so that we can bring glory to Him on how the world sees, how the world looks at it, that we would bring glory to His name by the way we live. This is the manifest glory in action. Verse 22. And this unity goes to the extreme, that they would be one even as we are one. The Godhead's a mystery. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one Godhead, coexisting, co-eternal, yet with their own character. Imagine that Godhead understanding in the unity of what the Father tells the Son and what the Spirit opens our eyes for, and how that works in an amazing symphony that we can't even begin to understand. And this is what the Lord would have for us, that we would actually interact as a body of believers, as a church representing Him and this earth, to show the unity that even reflects the unity of the Godhead. What a challenge for us as we interact with each other, as we hear the Lord pray that this would be the desire of His heart, that that would be how we would act. Well, this unity is glorious, but the glory that's promised by our Lord Jesus Christ in verse 24 is just simply out of this world. Verse 24. Let's read it together. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me. Get this. May be with me where I am, that they behold my glory, which you have given me. This is the pre-incarnate glory of Jesus Christ, who is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father before time ever was. That glory that He's going back to. He veiled His glory to come and take upon Himself the form of a servant, and now He's going back to share that glory as the Father had before time. And He's seated on the throne. And in all His splendor and all His glory, we hear those voices, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. That's the glory that He wants us to share in. Imagine. That's what's ahead of us when we read in Ephesians that in the ages to come, He's going to show the exceeding riches of His glory and grace in Christ Jesus our Lord. I can't begin to tell you what that looks like. John chapter 1, verse 3 and 2. Beloved, now we are children of God. I'm going to ask you a soul-searching question. Are you a child of God? Because this is what's in store for children of God. Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. When I was a little guy, I think when this song first came out, what a day that will be when my Jesus I will see. So I used to go and play that for my grandmother upstairs. And she would say every day, come up and play What a Day That Will Be. And then, like every day, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When He takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. Imagine what that's going to be like when we see Him face to face. The glory that He had before time, we get to share. We're going to share in that glory. We're going to share in that honor. We're going to share in that splendor. This is what the Lord's praying for, that we would ask that this glory be shown to the world and in the future, we're going to that glory. Praise God for his amazing plan. Some might know the words of this hymn. This is from old school Believer's Hymn Book. It says, "The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on the King of Grace. Not at the crown he gives, or on his pierced hands, Not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hands, because the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land." That's our future if we trust and obey. That's our future if we're children of God. And as we listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as he intercedes for us, he says, "Father, keep them from the evil one. Keep them from the oppression of this world. Keep them in your word." And that's what we do. That's how we sanctify ourselves, by the word of God in our life, as we understand his character, his worth, his value, as we look forward to show his glory and how we live, and as we look forward to a glory that we will share forever with the Savior. Well, let's stand and pray together. If there's anyone here that doesn't know this gift of salvation, I would implore that you think seriously about it. As we think of the Lord's Prayer, of what eternal life looks like, that they may know him, the only true God, in Jesus Christ whom he sent. That's the prayer of our hearts, the desire of our hearts, that you would know who Jesus is this morning. And for us that know him, the work's finished. We're secure in his word. We're encouraged that he continues to intercede for us. And someday we're going to share in his glory. Let's pray together. Lord, we're so thankful for your word. We thank you for this prayer as we hear from the very words of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. As it breaks through, the silence of the disciples that day, and as the Lord speaks his heart to you in intercession for those that believed and for those that will believe, for all of us, for the body of Christ. Lord, we ask again that you will keep us from the evil one. You'll keep us from the snare of this world, but that you would keep us focused on you. We thank you for the hope we have, the security we have. We thank you that we are confident, we're persuaded. Lord, we thank you that we can share in your glory, for this plan that allows us to just as a glimpse of what it would look like in the throne room of God, as the elders and all those gathered around the throne fell in worship. Worthy is the Lamb. And you've taken us out of every tribe and every nation and every tongue. And you've made us kings and priests, and we want to bring back a glory and a praise to you as kings and priests of the kingdom. We want to give you honor, praise, and glory. We pray this, Lord, for each one in this room. Lord, we pray this, you'll keep us by your word. We ask for these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.